This is Suzanne Cosgrove of John Lothian News. We're talking today with John Davison, Chief Executive Officer of OCC, about how the clearing organization is growing and adapting to the new normal of COVID-19. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Suzanne. Nice talking with you.
My colleague at John Lothian News, Sarah Rudolph, with you in November 2019 at the FIA Expo. That seems like a long time ago now. A lot has changed in a few short months. And I wanted to ask you then, what measures did OCC take to strengthen its resiliency in preparation for what turned out to be the pandemic?
Well, we have a very strong business continuity crisis management team. It's really populated by people with a long history of service in our government and the military, led by Mark Morrison and Clint Franson. They are very thorough in terms of the preparations we have to meet any sort of crisis. This is a particularly unusual one. We do quarterly tabletop crisis management drills, if you will. And by a very fortunate coincidence, I would love to say that we knew about this in advance, but that would not be the case. But by a very fortunate coincidence, we did a pandemic exercise last November. We do have a lot of experience with having our staff work remotely. During 2019, we had specific drills where all of our Chicago colleagues worked remotely while Dallas was in the office, and all of our Dallas colleagues worked remotely while Chicago was in the office. We also had a weather event, I believe, early in 2019, where both offices predominantly worked from home. So we were prepared. We have a very robust, as I said, crisis management business continuity team. They have been working around the clock to keep us on our toes and active and in communication with all of the relevant stakeholders and all of our employees. And so I think our preparation was quite robust, and it's paid off. We have something over 98% of our employees in all three locations, Washington, Dallas, and Chicago, working remotely. And it's been, as far as I know, completely seamless to the industry.
So it sounds like you're adapting fairly well to the work from home environment.
Yes, I would say that is correct. There are always challenges. You know, I think in a workplace environment, the company has a reasonable level of control over the environment. And in a work from home environment, as much as any of us would like to, we have limited degrees of freedom. We have childcare demands and children who are learning to learn remotely, as probably their teachers are learning to teach remotely, are a challenge. They need a lot of our attention. It's hard to segregate yourself from the different personal demands one has, be it preparing meals, cleaning up from meals, taking care of the house, children, pets, etc. But everybody is working through this. The technology has been very robust. Our connectivity is strong. We haven't had any issues with that at all. Our two data centers, the primary one in a suburb of Dallas, the backup one in a Chicago suburb, are essentially lights out data centers. The only time we would ever need to go into them is to actually physically recable something, which is very rare. So I would say the environment is good, and our employees have been working very productively, making sure that we continue to support the 16 options and soon to be four futures markets that we're responsible for clearing, as well as the stock lending business. And I don't think we've missed a beat.
You've had a lot of volume too in this period of time. OCC is clearing record volume, and this is often amid high volatility, at least in the last couple of months. Average daily volume was up nearly 43% in April on a year-over-year basis, and up a record 62.8% in March. How are you adapting to all this volume?
Well, actually, we're handling the volume very well, as are our exchange partners in that regard. And I would say the clearing members are also handling the volume very well. And all of them are also working predominantly in a work-from-home mode. As you're aware, OCC is making very strategic investments in replacing its clearing technology, which is now 20 years old. But that's a multi-year project. And anytime you embark in such a multi-year project, particularly when you're a systemically important financial market utility, as OCC is, you have to also make sure that you invest in the legacy system. And we had the foresight, Dave Hogue, Mark Morrison, and our technology teams had the foresight to make those investments in 2019. We purchased new mainframe computers for both of our data centers in the middle of 2019. We did some very substantial software upgrades to enhance the efficiency of all the processing that goes on in the overnight clearing cycle. And those investments have paid great dividends in seamlessly handling the very high volume we've seen. Indeed, the record volume for a couple of months, February and March for the OCC, and really dating back to 1987 and the very short duration stock market volatility we had then, this has been record market volatility and for a record period of time. And again, our systems have been performing very well. We made a number of enhancements to our margin models that we received SEC approval for over the course of 2019 and early this year, completely redid our clearing fund. All of those investments have continued to pay off for us and for our market participants. I would say that all of our clearing members have met their obligations to us on a timely basis. Our settlement banks have been remarkable in their participation in this process. It's all about timely communication, making sure everybody understands what's going on in the market, what's going on with clearing member clients, and informing the settlement banks and the clearing members of what we anticipate their obligations will be early enough for them to react. All of that's been going extremely well during this period.
You mentioned the Renaissance initiatives, the replacement of the legacy clearing technology. What's your current estimated timeline? I know that's a long-term project.
Our current estimated timeline remains that during the first quarter of 2022, we will be starting the process of parallel processing with our clearing members. So essentially, we will clear all the transactions twice, once in the legacy Encore system and once in the new Renaissance clearing and risk management system, comparing the results and making sure that both we and all of the market participants, be they exchanges, be they clearing members, have a good understanding of what they're seeing from both the legacy and the new environment. The process of development is an extended process of necessity, but we're already reaching out to our clearing member and exchange partners, demonstrating some of the capabilities that the new technology provides, making sure that we understand their perspective on the requirements for a clearing system and meet some of the wish lists they have for enhancements that we haven't been able to build into the system over time. And I think that process has been going quite well. So while the full production parallel will be a early 2022 event, we're already involving our market participants directly in the Renaissance development and even starting in the testing process.
Will you be having dress rehearsals, so to speak, along the way?
We will absolutely be having dress rehearsals along the way, both with respect to individual exchanges to make sure we are properly receiving their input. We actually receive input into our new cloud-demised portals from one exchange already. So that'll be an ongoing process. And then dress rehearsals, both individualized as well as streetwide, as we go through that process in early 22, making sure that when we flip the switch, we're ready, all the clearing members are ready, the market makers that receive risk-based haircuts are ready, and we don't have any sort of residual issues.
I know with Cboe Global Market, they went through a similar process, and it was quite an extended timeline, but there was definite gold along the way. It sounds like you're doing a similar kind of process. Make sure.
Absolutely. As Cboe Global Markets adopted the so-called BATS trading technology, we were also, as their clearer, very involved in that process and working with them on the testing and implementation. It went very smoothly. They are one of the five owners of OCC, and Chris Isaacson, who had been their chief information officer, is now their chief operating officer, is one of our directors, and he is on our technology committee. And he knows the drill very well and holds us to very high standards with respect to our performance. So it's a very good working relationship with Cboe and all of our participating exchanges.
Since we last talked with you, the SEC approved the OCC's new capital management policy in January, which I know that you wanted that to happen. You described it as a way to ensure you had sufficient capital to withstand a potentially systemic loss. So how has that served you over the last couple of months?
Well, it was very good to have that approval in place from the SEC, and we really appreciate the timeliness with which the Trading and Markets Division and the whole commission advance that initiative. It is, of course, fundamental that a central counterparty, a clearinghouse such as OCC, has not only the right resources in terms of a robust set of margin models, a robust margin methodology, a robust clearing fund, but also sufficient regulatory capital to meet the various other just regular commercial business needs, as well as so-called non-default losses that may occur in carrying out their responsibilities. The new policy has a lot of very important features, and they continue to operate quite well. Naturally, we are very dependent for our revenue on volume, and volume has been, as you mentioned, a very happy story so far this year. And the capital management policy is really set to allow our board, as it did at the end of last year, to set a minimum level of capital that they feel, based on management's recommendation and their own information, is sufficient to run the organization. And then as we accumulate more net of revenue over expenses, anytime we have more than 110% of our liquid net assets funded by equity available, that becomes so-called skin in the game. And skin in the game is an important thing for our clearing members. It's an important structure of a CCP. And we continue to work actively with market participants on understanding what the future skin in the game needs for OCC will be. I think uniquely among certainly U.S. Central counterparties, and I believe reasonably uniquely among all counterparties, we have, as part of that capital management policy, put the compensation that has not yet been vested, the deferred compensation of the OCC senior management team, as part of that skin in the game. So currently that is $3 million because we had to do it on a starting in 2019 compensation and going forward basis. It will eventually grow to about $9 million. And that really serves the skin in the game purpose of aligning the interests of the management of the OCC with the interests of the clearing members who are supporting OCC through their contributions to the clearing fund. In the event that there is a default of a clearing member and for whatever reason the margin deposits were not sufficient to cover its obligations, which, by the way, that is not something that we anticipate, and our story in that regard based on the past market volatility has been very good in that regard. But should that happen, the clearing member's contribution to the default fund and the charge against the deferred compensation of management happens on a pares passu basis, proportionally one for the other. So it is very strongly in the interests of the management of the clearinghouse, the OCC in this case, to be very robust with respect to our risk management policies, with respect to how our margin calculations work. And that's an important piece of skin in the game. I think clearing members and other market participants are of the view that while that's a useful piece of the puzzle, and while the 110% and above is also very important from their perspective, neither of those are numbers which are necessarily set in stone and are knowable well in advance. Obviously, we will publish them on a quarterly basis, but they do have a view that OCC may need to consider other areas where skin in the game could be a part of our capital structure. Management and our board are continuing to consider that, as well as some of the other principles that are expounded in a recent paper that both the buy side and the sell side have put forth with respect to CCP resilience. And we think that's an ongoing important process. But I think we may.
You're still discussing.
That is something that's still being discussed, yes. But I think we made really fundamental and very important progress with the capital management plan, and it is and will continue to serve us and the entire industry very well.
Anything else that you've run into with the pandemic that have been challenging that you'd like to relate? Or?
Well, you know, I think the thing about the working from home environment is you really need to understand the employee perspective, which is if you think about an employee coming into any office environment, there are all sorts of nonverbal cues that things are in good shape. You see your manager sitting at his or her desk or in his or her office. If you work in a suburban setting, you might have noticed the boss's car in the parking lot in its usual place. I and my colleagues on the management team do a lot of what's called management by walking around and, you know, just checking up on people face to face. All of those are just little cues that things are as normal, and they don't exist in a work from home environment unless you force them to exist. And so one of the things we've been doing is Scott Warren, our chief operating officer, and I religiously have a twice a week all hands WebEx video cast. And we get remarkable participation. It's not mandatory, but we get well over 600 or 700 of our 800 and some employees on that WebEx, just getting the information. And guess what? A lot of the time, we don't have anything new to tell them. But the fact that we're open and transparent about what we do know, that we are in, through our business continuity team, are in constant communication with local and state and even national healthcare and regulatory authorities, that provides a level of comfort. We encourage managers to make sure they are not just having work conference calls, but are trying to reach out, a couple of times a week with their employees, where possible, one-on-one, just to see what's going on, to share interpersonal communication, because that, I think, is so important in giving people a little more sense of structure than is available when we're all as dispersed as we are. And of course, we have to be dispersed and we have to stay in conformity with the CDC and the local and state health authorities' guidelines. But we're fully operational. We communicate constantly to our employees our deep appreciation for all the things they are doing, managing all these balls in the air with respect to working from home, and that we continue to appreciate their contribution to making sure the U.S. capital markets, which are the deepest and most liquid in the world, continue to operate for the benefit of our exchanges, our clearing members, and really for all the market participants. And I think that extra level of communication is something that's really important for anybody trying to manage in the current environment.
You anticipate going back to the office in June once the stay-at-home orders are lifted in Illinois?
Well, I wouldn't care to speculate on when those stay-at-home orders will be lifted. I think there's a lot of learning. We have to pay careful attention to what the scientists and the health authorities say. We are not in any rush to go back because, you know, unlike a lot of businesses that depend on physical interaction, we are operating very well without that. And we are the U.S. capital markets, the options markets, the futures markets, the clearing process, that's all open for business, which, of course, is very important to the future and current state of the U.S. economy. So we will, we already have developed a set of plans. Clint Frenzen and the business continuity team have a set of plans, various options for how we will go back. We will not do a quote unquote big bang. We will bring some folks in gradually. We do deep cleaning. We make sure the most important thing is the health and safety of our employees. It's our employees that make these markets work. Yeah, they're dependent on computerized clearing systems, but they program and support those systems. So the health and safety of our employees is first and foremost. Not everybody's going to be ready to come back at the same time. We've got to make sure we have appropriate social distancing, that we don't have 45 people crammed into a tiny conference room trying to hear a presentation on the phone. We know that neither Illinois nor Dallas area schools are going to reopen this year, so those usual childcare situations are not going to be available. In all probability, most people's summer camps may not be available. So the environment is now really complicated. You've got to be very flexible, understand the needs, the concerns of the employees. We've recently done a survey out to all of our employees about what their concerns are, what they feel they would need to be comfortable coming back to the office, and we're taking that into account in formulating our plans. We have to be flexible. Nobody knows for sure how some of these early openings are going to work out. We got to make sure that we're keeping first and foremost health and safety in mind. And because we are operating so well in our work from home environment, we don't need to take any unnecessary or premature risks. We can learn from some other people's experience.
This is Suzanne Cosgrove from John Lothian News.